It's time for a new episode of Hold the Mic with Jenna and Lexi.
Hold the mic.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Hold the Mic. This is Jenna. I'm doing a solo episode this week. I hope you guys listened and liked Lexi's episode last week. But we decided to do some solo episodes, get our own guests on, and I am so excited for my guest this week. It is seriously amazing that I was able to get her on, so I'm so excited. But let's do the segments really quick so we can just get right into my interview. So for the first one, who's on my radar? Lexi and I talked about this a couple weeks ago, but how Tom Brady originally announced his retirement. Now he announced that he's coming back to play with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers for another season. Honestly, I'm so excited. I love watching him play. Obviously, he's a legend. He's a GOAT for sure. It's just funny because I was like, oh, like I'll never know the NFL without him, blah, blah, blah. Now he's back. He actually posted an Instagram picture and he captioned it, "These past 2 months, I realized my place is still on the field and not in the stands. That time will come, but it's not now." I'm so excited. I can't wait to watch him play for another season. Maybe it'll be a couple more. Maybe this is just the one. We'll see, but I'm still excited either way. And for my game of the week, this episode is going to be coming out a couple weeks after this, but I just have to shout out Boise State men's basketball. They are an 8 seed for this year's March Madness. The team has made history over and over again this season. First, they've never even made it to the Mountain West Championship game in the conference tournament. Then they win it. Now they're playing in the NCAA tournament for the first time in program history. It is so exciting, something to celebrate, something that I'm so excited that I was able to be a part of. In terms of cheering at all their games this year, it's just been so much fun to watch them and so exciting for them. This episode of Hold the Mic is brought to you by Chillo. Are you having trouble finding a roommate?
Or looking for a new place that's actually within your budget? We know there's a lot of headache that surrounds housing, and Chillo is here to help.
Chillo is an app that makes it easier than ever to find a rental and a roommate all in one place. Whether you're a renter or landlord, be sure to check out the Chillo app in the Apple App Store today.
And for a limited time, Chillo will be donating $1 to every app downloaded to a local nonprofit dedicated to ending homelessness in Idaho. So what are you waiting for? Download the Chillo app today.
So to wrap up those segments, let's just get right into this interview. I have someone who I consider a mentor of mine, a huge role model for me, and that is CBS Sideline reporter Jenny Dell. So Jenny, thank you so much for coming on. I'm so excited to have you on. I just wanted to kind of get started in terms of just like asking you to tell your story of how you got to your position, what you do right now, everything.
Okay. Goodness gracious. I'll make a very long story nice and short for you. I'll do my best to do that. So I was a double major at UMass, University of Massachusetts in Amherst, in business. So working in television, working in production is never anything that was on my radar. I wanted to do marketing and advertising for major sporting events. So growing up in Connecticut, ESPN is located right in Connecticut. So I always thought ESPN would be a great place to work. I thought it would be great to help plan Super Bowl parties and the ESPYs and all these fun events. So I ended up graduating college early and went in for an interview for 3 coordinating producers to be their assistant. And in my, you know, thought process was like, let me just get my foot in the door at ESPN and then I'll work my way towards the marketing, you know, events department. So I ended up thankfully getting an opportunity to work in production as a production assistant. And I did not know the first thing about it. So really just dove deep in. First person there, last person to leave, did everything in my power to learn everything about production. And I fell in love with the behind the scenes of the sports world. So about a month or two into my time at ESPN, I got approached in the cafeteria about my knowledge on football. And I grew up watching football and baseball were like the 2 main sports I watched with my dad. So, you know, I had a pretty good background knowledge when it came to football. And that's when fantasy football, not to date myself, but when fantasy football was really starting to grow. So they were looking for more female talent to work in ESPN.com in that capacity to talk about fantasy football. So I ended up going in and, you know, writing a script and you know, this was all foreign to me. I had no idea what I was doing, but went in there and got an opportunity to audition to help out with the fantasy football coverage for ESPN.com. I ended up getting that opportunity. And then over the next 4 years at ESPN, I really still enjoyed the production and the behind the scenes. So it was doing work with that, but also anytime that a celebrity or an athlete would come to ESPN, I was interviewing them for ESPN.com. And that was really growing with our Countdown Daily at the time, was what it was called, our fantasy football coverage. And that's when the opportunity to work for the Boston Red Sox opened up. So after 4 years at ESPN, I decided I needed to either stick it out and really focus on production or try to do this on-air talent job that I was kind of doing on the side, but really enjoying. So the Red Sox job opened up. I had no live television experience at that point. And I thankfully ended up getting that job to be the sideline reporter for the Boston Red Sox. So 2012 was a tough year just for the Sox in general. 2013 ended up winning a World Series. So I was able to cover a championship team, which is like a dream come true. I also met my husband in the process during that year, which is fantastic. And after the 2013 season, I left and I've now been with CBS for almost 9 years doing a variety of different things, but mainly college football, NFL, and college basketball coverage. So it's been a whirlwind, a little whirlwind.
Yeah, it's so crazy because it's like everyone to the position that you're in right now, everyone has such a different story. Yes. Which almost makes it difficult for like someone like me wanting to become in your position. I'm like, I don't even know how I'm supposed to get there.
What's the journey? It's like everyone's journey is so different.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. You mentioned at the very beginning that you graduated college early. How yes. do you think that helped you at all? Do you think that made any,
you know, I should say, yes, it helped me just because I got a kickstart on my career path, you know, before the rest of my class, but all in all, like, and again, I understand that academics were so important to me. I mean, it was imperative that I finished, you know, my double major at the top of my class with a 4.0 GPA. And when I went in for that initial interview with ESPN to get the job, they didn't, yes, of course, they looked at my resume and they looked at my grades. So it was incredibly important, but they more so wanted to know about me and like what I did in my spare time and how I gave back to the community and the work experience that I had and my internships that I had. And it wasn't so like, oh, great, you graduated at the top of your class early. Congratulations. It was like, let's see how you're well-rounded. And that's what we're looking for. So I do think it helped as far as just like, also when you I graduated a semester early. So you have that influx of students that are coming in, you know, after the spring, after real graduation. And I was able to get like a little kickstart because mine was after a winter. So maybe there were a couple more opening positions at that time, but overall, I just think it's so key just to be well-rounded. I think that's much, you know, the most important part I took away from that.
Yeah. What kind of advice would you give in terms of going into those interviews, like to get those jobs?
Oh my gosh. Just be yourself. I feel like every job that I've ever gotten, I've always asked like, why, you know, afterwards I'm like, can I just, why me? You know, there's people that are much more qualified and it's, I've always gotten the response back, like you are authentic and we could tell you're hardworking, which is key. And we know that, you know, you're going to give 110%, but you're real and you're relatable and you're not trying to be this fake person that's trying to just say everything perfect and everything right. You're just who you are. And that's what we like about you. And that's what we want, you know, our company to be surrounded by is just like true, authentic people who are willing to like work their ass off mm-hmm. and do a great job, but they're not trying to be fake or someone that they're not.
Definitely. So what would like a typical week in your life look like during college football season, starting on that Sunday or Monday and going from there?
Oh my gosh. Well, it always starts after, like on my flight home from my last game is when I start prepping for my next game. And I don't think people realize how much work goes into being a sideline reporter.
No one does. I'm asking this question because I already know the answer. And I still, when I asked you originally, I was like, I had no idea.
It's crazy. Mm-hmm. It's crazy. So usually I'm flying home from whatever game I'm doing on Sunday. A lot of times I'm on the West Coast and I'm flying back to Florida. So you have like a whole day on the flight to just start digging into the teams that you're going to be covering the next week. So the way that I view my job, there's a couple different aspects of it. You are the eyes and the ears on the field. So you can see and hear things that nobody else can. So it's your job to be able to relay that information to the people watching at home. Now that's the in-game stuff. That's the important in-game stuff, but there is so much prep that goes in that, I mean, the amount of pages of notes that I have for most of my games, I have like 20 to 25 pages of notes, and that's on each coach, each player, you know, different storylines through that's happened with the week to, throughout the season. I mean, 25 pages of notes, that's probably like, I don't know, 60, 70 hours a week that I'm putting in before I even fly out to these games. So what I initially like to do is we get these research packets. So I'll look at what happened the week before and I'll look at what happened, you know, in previous games. And if there's any big storylines there, you dive deep on them. But my job and in my perspective, it's like, I want to bring something new to the table. So like, if you're a huge Boise State fan, like, you know, what's happening with the team. Mm-hmm. So how can I take some of that information and add to it? You know, how can I reach out to these players, to these coaches and just say, hey, I saw this article about A, B, C, and D. Like, let's dive deeper into this and talk to me about it. Cause everyone's going to be talking about that and everyone knows about it. So how can you add to the story? So it's not just having that research on all the players and coaches, but it's adding more onto it. Or it's like, you know, a segment that we always like to do, we used to call it Ring the Dell. So it's a former player that went to college, you know, at a university that's now in the NFL. So I would try to reach out to them and say, all right, are you still, you know, a huge fan of Boise State? Like, do you still talk to the players? Like, who, you know, what's your relationship like with the university? What do you think of their starting quarterback? Like, whatever it may be, just to kind of add like a new layer of like, oh, well, look at this guy who's successful in the NFL now. Like, he still tries to get to Boise State practice every time he can or whatever it may be. So it's just trying to figure out like unique little fun stories too throughout the time. Like, I obviously, you cover sports, so you want it to be fun and enjoyable. And something that I've loved this past like 2 years is I feel like everyone during COVID has kind of, I don't know if there's been like a self-reflection, or I think people have kind of taken a step back and realized what's truly important. Some people, you know, and I found that a lot of athletes have found different ways to kind of make sure that they're mentally prepared for the season. And whether that's like these guys getting into yoga or cooking or horseback riding or paintballing, like whatever it may be, to find these like interesting, unique stories about these guys, that's not just X's and O's them on the field, that makes it personal. Mm-hmm. And I feel like as a fan, you want to feel personally connected to these players and these teams. And I feel like being on the sideline, I'm able to pull those stories out of the guys a little bit and then, you know, give the fans that information. So it really is from Sunday, I'm diving deep into like what happened that weekend for these teams. And Monday I'll talk with my producer about, you know, this is kind of what we're thinking for these teams in this week. Oh, this guy went to the NFL. Let me reach out to him. And then Tuesday, Wednesday, it's just deep dive into storylines, trying to get in touch with the athletes, working with the SIDs at each school, the school information directors, making sure your interviews are set up. Then typically we fly out on Thursday for the game. Meetings are on Fridays, and then Saturday's game day, and it's like go time, baby. But something else that I also found that's very important is Saturdays, typically we have a late kick because Mountain West. Mm-hmm. So our crew will try to get together and just do something outside of work on Saturdays, which I love. So whether it's going, you know, a group yoga session or going on a hike or going to explore, you know, these amazing places that we are in, that's something that always kind of, you know, relaxes us and gets us game ready.
Definitely. I love that. Do you typically have the same crew of people that go with you, like same producers, same guys at the desk?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So obviously with COVID things switched up a little bit, but for the most part, and really for the last almost 7 years, I've had the same producer, director. I forgot all the people in the truck that we travel with. Our camera guys are the same. And then our talent, like we're really all a family. It's like my work family. We spend a lot of time together, like a lot of time together. So you know their families and their kids and their stories and everything. So it's pretty special. CBS definitely tries to keep the crew together as much as possible.
Yeah, that's so cool. It's kind of nice, like, you know, building all of those bonds and everything. It makes it more comfortable.
Yeah, and you can see that on air too. Mm-hmm. Like you can tell, yes. You know, when you're with a crew and they know the ins and outs of your life and stuff and like little jokes about you, you can just feel that mm-hmm. through, I feel like, the airwaves, and it just makes it more of like a comfortable watch and like funny, and we can all like pick it at each other.
I love
it. Just make it enjoyable.
Yeah, it's super obvious too on air, like you said.
Yeah.
You mentioned, so you spend like 60 to 70 hours before you even fly out. You are married. You have two daughters. You have a social life. How do you balance all of that?
Oy. date night is very important. My husband and I have realized just over the years how key it is for us to just have alone time, because things can get hectic. We have two kids, a 2-year-old and a 3-year-old, and we love these little girls more than anything. But just to have alone time, like just go out for breakfast or something once a week, or go out for dinner, or, you know, he can even come on the road with me now, which is fantastic. It's a lot to balance, but I think you just have to prioritize your time, and like family is first. Family is everything to me. And that's what matters the most. But I also am so career driven, and I didn't want to give that up. And I don't want to say just to be a mom, but I learned, and there's some people that dream about being stay-at-home moms. I am not that person. And I love my family, my kids more than anything, but I am much more well-rounded and a happier, healthier human by having these work experiences and being independent and being able to do that. So a quote that one of the sideline reporters that works for ESPN now, Chris Budden, taught me like years ago is be where your feet are. And yes, I do a lot of prep work, but I try to do prep work before the kids wake up, during nap time, and after the kids go to sleep. And while they're awake, it is like my job to be 110% mom of the year, like committed, try to be the best mom out there. Like, mm-hmm. Let's go to every park that exists. Let's make all the, you know, treats. Let's do all the crafts. And it's hard sometimes because, you know, if you think of that term, be where your feet are, well, that would mean then when I'm on the road, I need to focus like purely on the road. And like always my family still comes first. But when I'm on the road, my husband, he knows that unless it's like an emergency, especially at game time, then we need to just like settle down with the phone calls of meltdown daughters or whatever, uh-huh. Because I need to focus.
Yeah.
I need to focus on the game at that point. So obviously, you know, if something's wrong, then family comes first, yes. But it's, he definitely understands the need to be able to kind of separate the two, especially when you're in those game moments.
Yeah.
Yes.
The cutest videos are like Maddie and Kenzie when they see you on TV. Melts my heart.
Mama, it's mama. So I'm convinced that Maddie, my 3-year-old, thinks that like everyone's on television because she won't just be like, oh, it's mom. Like she's like, that's my mama. Like everyone else's mom's on TV too. And I'm like, all right, we'll go with it.
I so love funny. That. I love that so much.
That's my mommy. melts my heart. No, it's so cute. It's so sweet.
That's so cute. So you live in Florida and yes. You do CBS Sports HQ. Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. So gosh, how many years has it been? Like 4 years ago, we probably started CBS Sports HQ. So it actually, the timing was pretty wild. My husband was a professional baseball player.
Yes.
See some jerseys over here.
Which we're going to get to that.
Yeah. But he had a career ending injury right when the week I found out that I was pregnant with Madison. So about like a month after that, CBS reached out and said, hey, we're starting this digital network, CBS Sports HQ. It's basically, you know, live 24/7 breaking news analysis, highlights, everything you need to know, like HQ is where you go to. And it's based, we have two offices, one in Connecticut, one in Fort Lauderdale. Would you be interested in joining the team? And I was like, yes, count me in. Cause at the time also it's like, well, Will's career's over. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you go from having kind of the set plan of like, okay, well, my husband's a professional athlete. Like we're going to be fine. I can kind of just do the sideline thing to like, oh wait, there's bills to pay and like mortgages to pay. And I'm pregnant. There's a baby coming. Like, what are we going to do? So it actually, the timing worked out. Thank God for health insurance. Yay. but it's fantastic. And there was the option to either kind of go towards the Fort Lauderdale or the Connecticut studio. And I grew up in Connecticut. Mm-hmm. So obviously I'm like, ooh, Connecticut would be nice because my family's there. But also my mom wants to retire to Florida. My dad wants to retire to Florida. I hate being cold more than mm-hmm. anything in the world. Let's do Florida. So we decided to move to South Florida. And that's where we are now. But HQ is amazing. Like even you're just talking about the Tom Brady news. Like mm-hmm. the second that tweet went out, I am always so interested. And I am not talking down about any other network, but I put on, you know, a sports network that everyone knows. And I was like, how quickly are they going to get to this Brady stuff? And obviously it happens on Selection Sunday. So everyone has their basketball analysts and, you know, and it's like, All right, switch to football. But yeah, within seconds, HQ has all of our NFL analysts on, like everyone breaking down exactly what's happening with Brady within seconds. And it's all digital. And, you know, everyone has their phone by them at every point. So it's just pretty incredible, like how quickly they're able to get on these things. And what I love about it is, you know, obviously I mentioned earlier, football and baseball are like my two favorite sports and the most comfortable I feel with sports,
right,
but like this has forced me to become super comfortable with basketball, mm-hmm, and with hockey and now with soccer, which is a huge push with CBS right now. And these things that like I never would have really learned in depth, like obviously, you know, the basics, but you get to learn all of these sports and the athletes and everything really in depth, which has been awesome. And you get to work with all these analysts from around the world. So HQ's been fantastic. It's been fun.
Yeah. And you did a lot of basketball games this season too.
I did a lot. I know normally I'm like the fall girl, but I was able to do a bunch. I just came off, I had the Patriot League Championship, which was incredible. And then I did the MAC semifinals, which was, you know, there was a lot of drama going around there, but it was awesome. Like it's just basketball. So it's so wild how quick the games go by after doing football for so long.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Half the time you're like, wait, the game's over? Like what's happened?
Yeah. So, it's so fast paced too. It's fun. It's definitely fun. I've become way more into basketball, like now that I like cheer at all of the games and everything, you know?
Yes, exactly. And that's what makes sports fun. It's like you might not initially think that you're interested in it. Like I could say I worked on NASCAR for a year when I was at ESPN. And when I first got that assignment, I was like, oh, I don't know how I feel about NASCAR. Like, let's see how this goes. I fell in love with the sport. Like and to this day, I'm like, oh, NASCAR's on. I'm going to put that on now because you get to know the athletes and you get to know the storylines and it just like pulls you in. But that's what sports does. That's why it makes it so fun.
Yeah. What would you consider to be like the most surprising thing about the industry as you entered it?
I think that I assumed that people that worked in television had these egos about them and, you know, were, you know, high and mighty and on some pedestal. But what I found is like, everyone is so willing to help and be supportive. And like people, I think initially would assume that all the sideline reporters are like out for each other and, mm-hmm, oh, I'm going to get that job. And I, you know, I'm better than you. It is not like that at all. We have a group chat of all the sideline reporters from CBS, ESPN, Fox. Like we all chat, we all share notes. We all support each other. We talk about, you know, what sneakers are best on the sideline, whatever, but we're all there for each other. You know, if someone has a tough moment on the field, like everyone's reaching out and making sure that they're okay. And I feel like people automatically are like, oh, they must hate each other because there's very few jobs that do what we do.
Yeah.
But really it's like, it's a sorority. It's like a sisterhood. And, you know, I shouldn't just say women, there's men sideline reporters that are part of it as well. And it's just, it's a really good group of people. Mm-hmm. And really everyone that I've come across that works on air, when I first started, I assumed had these like super big egos and were just, you know, you couldn't go talk to them. And it is like the opposite.
That's so awesome.
Yeah.
I think you're right though. I feel like there is that sort of like idea that is the case because it's a very competitive industry. Like
right.
It really is. But I love
like,
that you said
there's enough room for all of us.
Yeah.
Like there's plenty of games. There's plenty of sports. Like let's all just get along and help each other out.
Speaking of, when do you get like your schedule typically? So like for football season or?
Yeah. So what typically happens is we will get like a set schedule, you know, a month before season starts.
Okay.
But there's a lot of times where you can just rip that schedule, throw it out the window, especially with COVID. But now still, because, you know, I might be scheduled to do a game on the Mountain West and my boss might call me on Tuesday, even though I'm like already deep dive into that game and say, hey, you're doing NFL this week. So you're flying to Denver and you're just like, okay, all right, great. Let me pivot. Let me figure this one out. So that happens a lot, but normally you have like a set schedule that you can kind of base things off, just knowing that things are going to change.
Okay. Okay.
And it's the same with basketball too. Yeah.
So you kind of talked a little bit about Will. I want to talk a little bit about what was released today that you posted on your Instagram.
Yay. I'm so excited. Oh my God. It's been like a little secret for so long. Okay. So obviously, for people that don't know, I met my husband when I was a sideline reporter for the Boston Red Sox working at NESN, which is an incredible. So NESN is owned by the Red Sox organization, Fenway Sports Group. And I'm just like so excited. So because it's such like a full circle thing. So when
totally.
Will's,
yeah,
it's crazy. So like when Will's career ended back in 2018, it took a little while for him to be able to kind of like mourn the loss of what his baseball career was, because baseball was everything to him. And thank God, like our family is so strong and, you know, Madison, our baby came along and those two are like this. But it took him a bit. And so it was like, when you're a professional athlete, if you don't want to do something totally different, which a lot of people do, it's like you either try and go the coaching route or the media route. Mm-hmm. And obviously I have a tie-in with the media. Yeah. So I basically was like, all right, if you want to try to get into TV, like let's figure this out. So he is now a superstar analyst with CBS Sports HQ. And he was like kicking butt it. And it's funny because I remember like our first interview, he was 22, I think 23. He was like a little baby.
Okay.
I'm a little older than him. But I, after our interview, and it was like the first time he came up with the Red Sox, I remember pulling him aside and being like, hey bud, so we're going to like have to work on these interviews a little bit because he just got nervous in front of the camera. So the fact that he now is working on camera is hilarious, but he over the time got more comfortable with interviews. I was like, you need to give me like more than a sentence when I ask you a question. Yeah. Which, you know how it goes. But now, I mean, he like blows me away with his knowledge in the baseball realm is just like undeniable. He knows. And that's why I knew he was going to be good at, you know, being an analyst, because mm-hmm. he would sit on the couch and he would call things before they happen. Like yeah. we were watching a game, he would explain it in a way that just made sense to me, even though I'm a baseball fan, but I'm like, oh, I understand what you're saying. Like he had a way about him to like really just break down the game in like an easy to understand way. So unfortunately, when Jerry Remy passed away, who's our longtime Red Sox analyst and beloved and just like the most incredible man in Boston, they need to fill that role. So they brought in, they have a new booth of talent that's coming in to call the games, and they're bringing Will in to do the studio show leading up to the Red Sox game. So pre-game and post-game. So he's really going to be able to like break down the games, and he loves Boston. Like that's where we met. That's where our love story started. That's where his baseball career, you know, the majority of it happened. He won a World Series with the Red Sox. So like, that's like Boston's everything to him and to me. So to be able to go back and now work for NESN, and, you know, maybe this will lead to other opportunities with NESN, but this is huge. So
it's we're excited. So exciting. Yes. It's so exciting. So then for Will, will it be like virtual, or were you guys?
No, like, so, he will be flying up to Boston for a bunch of series. Okay. And then they're on the road. He'll be able to do a couple of shows right here from the man cave. We'll obviously like move the Yankees stuff out of here.
Off to the side.
Get out of there, guys. Yeah. But yeah, no, it's going to be really exciting for him.
Oh my gosh. That is so
exciting. Yeah, we'll definitely be in Boston a lot this summer.
Yes. That's so exciting. So what, can you just kind of tell everyone like why Boston means so much to you? Like how many years did you spend there? Like what does that entail for you?
Okay. Oh, there's so much to unload there. Mm-hmm. So I grew up in Connecticut. And I ended up going to school at UMass. So even though Amherst is far from Boston, like you quickly become a Boston fan when you're at UMass, because everyone is from Massachusetts there. And like, if you don't love the Patriots and the Red Sox and the Bruins and the Celtics, it's like, get out of here. Mm-hmm. So I very quickly, and so long story short, also my parents are New Yorkers. So I grew up watching like the Yankees and the Mets. So when I went to UMass 2004, Red Sox Yankees, I very quickly changed my ways. And I was like, all right, I'm going to just become a Red Sox fan because I don't want to start fights around here. So, and then the first time I went to Fenway Park for the first time, and I just fell in love. And I was like, all right, this is like going to be my team. Mm-hmm. So when I got the opportunity to work for the Red Sox, it was like a dream come true. And Boston, for people who have never been, like, it is sports capital of the world to me. Like, it is, people there live and breathe and die those teams, and they're so passionate. And it's not just passion, but they understand the sport and they understand like the ins and the outs of the organization and the players, and they care. And it's like, it's, to me, it's unlike any other city that's out there. Mm-hmm. So when I first started working there, I was scared out of my mind because I was like, do I belong in this network of, you know, success? And everyone just embraced me. And it was like the Ness and crew just welcomed me with open arms, and the community and the fans. And, you know, it felt like home. And that's kind of just the way it's always been. So the fact that we're able to kind of go back there now, you know, with our kids and kind of have this full circle experience is wild.
That is so exciting. I love it. So who would you consider to be like a role model that you previously or currently look up to?
Oh my God. There are so many. Tracy Wolfson to me is just like, she's like the GOAT. And when I first started working at CBS and the NFL, she reached out like the day I got the job and was like, I'm here for you. Like, let's sit down, let's chat. And she's just been incredible from day one. I just admire her in so many ways, and she's a working mom and handles it all. And like, just is so great at her job. Another person, when I was a production assistant at ESPN, I was working on Monday Night Football, and Mike Tirico was our play-by-play guy. And that's when I first started doing stuff for ESPN.com and fantasy football. And he would literally each week that I would travel each week to whatever Monday Night Football game we would have, he would sit down with me. And we'd go over my reel and go over my stuff from the week. And he'd give me pointers of like what to do, what to change, what I did well. And to this day, like, he's just been so helpful in my career and just such a good guy, and has just gone out of his way to make sure that, you know, I'm doing the best that I can. And he's kind of held me to this standard. So I would say Tracy and Tariq are definitely two, but there's a long list of people I could put in there.
Yeah, definitely. What would you say are like the do's and don'ts to being a sideline reporter?
let's see. Do your research. I would say do report with discretion. So like something that I had to learn, and it took a little while, is injuries. So like when you see an injury on the field, you report what you see, and you can also report what you hear. But you have to be a little careful about that sometimes, because the school or the organization might not want certain information out there, mm-hmm. but use your eyes. So that's something that's been very key. It's like figuring out exactly, you learn a lot about injuries over the time, which is something that I wish I knew more of when I first started. Cause it's like, okay, some guy's working on your knee, you know, depending on like where the trainer's looking, like, what exactly are we looking at? You know, could it be an ACL, an MCL? Like, what do we think we're looking at? Is it a hamstring? Like, is it more the leg? Is it the ankle? Like, so just trying to like learn about the human body is something that I didn't realize would be very important in our job. Don't overstep boundaries. And don't ever hurt relationships with teams or players. If you're told something in confidence and they say this is off the record, it needs to stay off the record. Even though you're like, oh, I could tweet this out and get 100,000 new followers and break some wild news.
Yeah.
Trust is everything in this industry, and you have to maintain trust. And whether it's talking to a player's girlfriend, or if it's talking to the SID or talking to the head coach and they say, hey, this is between us, then if you ruin that trust, you might as well just stop working, because you're not going to get any information from that point on. And it's just like, you have to just be a good person.
Yeah.
You know, if they're willing to tell you something off the record, then you need to just keep it to yourself. And sometimes that's a difficult thing to do, but that's part of the job. So it's like using just discretion of like when you can relay a certain information or not. But there's so many do's and don'ts with every job, right?
How has it been? I mean, a lot of people consider the sports industry to be male dominated. How has it been like being a woman, like going up in ranking of the industry?
Yeah, I think at first at ESPN, it was tough just because they were back in the day, not to like date myself again, but like there are a lot more women working in the industry now than when I first came in.
Right.
And granted, it was what, 15 years ago or something like that, but it's been so much more. And it was tough at first because I think everyone initially looks at you. I was a 21-year-old, like right out of college, and everyone's like, why is she here? Like, what is she? And I didn't even major in production or journalism. So everyone was like, what's her deal? So it's just proving yourself over and over again. And even to this day, I mean, I was sitting at a basketball tournament last week and, you know, going over my research and going over my notes. And I was talking to a guy sitting next to me and he was like, oh, so you know what you're talking about? And I was like, yes, I know what I'm talking about. Like, but you still have to like prove that you understand sports, which is absurd.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's unfortunately just the way that it is. And I'm hoping that as we grow, that changes, but it's definitely still, there.
Okay. I got you.
Yeah.
I know. It's so interesting. I feel like that's something that, I mean, even like me being a host of like a sports podcast, it's still one of those things of like,
yep.
Oh, like, do you actually?
Oh, wait, you understand football?
I know.
It's do you want to go over the playbook? All right.
So outside of your commitment of being a sideline reporter, you have some other things that kind of go on for you, like Campus Eats.
Oh my gosh, I love eating.
Tell us about Campus Eats.
Okay, so this actually goes back to Monday Night Football as well. So my job on Monday Night Football was to do a lot of producing of like features and such. But during the game, I would sit in this small booth in the production truck with this guy, and we would put together what we call the rollout. So it's basically taking like the best sound bites and the best images and putting music to it and making it like really fun. And it would be the last thing that would air before, you know, before we got off air for the night. So we had hours to like sit in this room and just like chat. So this guy, Mike, he's the most incredible editor. He left and started his own production company. So I think it was 7 or 8 years after I worked Monday Night Football. I'd been with the Red Sox. I was working for CBS now. I get a phone call from Mike and I'm like, huh, I haven't seen that name in forever.
Yeah.
And he was like, hey, came up with this really fun idea. I remember back in the days of ESPN, how much you loved food and you loved cooking. And he's like, I have this idea about kind of this food focused show, but also with a tie in with sports. Would you be interested in hosting it? And I was like, yes. What? Yes. Yeah. Dream come true.
Two like, best things ever, right?
I know. I'm like, wait, I get to eat and talk about sports and what? Yes. So, Campus Eats. So Campus Eats is on Big Ten Network right now. We just completed our fourth season of Campus Eats. So we go to all the Big Ten colleges and eat at all the best restaurants. And while we're there, we talk to former athletes and head coaches, and we get to just like sit down. So it's like, oh, if you're a big Michigan State fan, you're going to Columbus for, you know, a big Ohio State game. Like, this is where you have to go to get a burger before the game. And, you know, this is the former athlete that went here that like, this was his spot. And this is where he would sit before every game, blah, 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 whatever it may be.
Yeah.
But it is literally like a dream come true. And I host it with a guy, Troy Johnson, who's just like my favorite human being, one of my favorite human beings alive. He's a superstar on Food Network and just knows like everything about food, but we just have like this brother sister relationship, and he drives me absolutely nuts and I drive him nuts, and it just makes for good television.
Oh, that's perfect.
Yeah. So, and we just eat a ton of food. It's awesome.
Yeah. And then going off of that love for food and cooking, you have Simply Delicious.
Yes. So it's actually a funny story. When I was, gosh, 11 or 12, I would attend classes at the Culinary Institute of Connecticut, which were like adult classes, but I would go, I loved cooking my whole life. I thought initially I was going to be a chef. And so I would like walk in for these classes and everyone would look at my mom like, are you just leaving her here?
Yeah.
And so I would take, so I started my own catering company called Simply Delicious when I was in like middle school. And then I did it through high school. And I catered like local events. I catered a couple weddings, like corporate parties. I mean, I was like a child doing this.
Oh my God.
Then fast forward many years, go to UMass. I have, you know, 5 awesome roommates who I'm still super close with. And then we all kind of scatter all over the country. And then when Will and I moved to Florida in 2018, one of my roommates, Tracy, just happens to like call me one day and she's like, are you moving to Florida? Cause we were living in Scottsdale, Arizona at the time. And I was like, yeah. And she was like, we're moving to Boca like next week. And I was like, what? So we live 10 minutes from each other.
Oh my gosh. That's so cool.
So she has two young kids and her husband loves to golf. My husband loves to golf. We have two young kids. So we just started getting together like every weekend and we would cook all these amazing things. And we're like, we should share this with the world because like these meals are so easy and so yummy and like family friendly. And we're two busy working moms, but like we're finding time to do this. And so we were trying to think of the name and I was like, well, I always had like Simply Delicious and her maiden name was Simon. So Tracy Simon, S-I-M. So I was like, we could do like Simon Delicious, like Simply Delicious and kind of make it our thing. So now it's been awesome. Like we try to get together once every 2 weeks and cook and we're starting to get like sponsored by different companies and we're doing events and it's just been such like a passion project for both of us. And we just, I mean, it's like everyone, we're cooking dinner every night for our family. So why not just like share what we're making and share those recipes with everyone. So it's been fun.
That is so cool. One of the life hacks I got from you was like putting the paper towel in the Tupperware and like,
it's the best. Yeah. If you're, seriously, if you're Tupperware, you know, the red stains you get from like red sauce or taco meat or anything, just put the paper towel in with a little warm water and a little like Dawn soap or whatever, and just give it a shake. Perfectly clean.
I'm a user. Trust me. I'm a user. I do it all the time.
That's what I love.
Okay. To wrap it up, my last question for you, what would be like a piece of advice that you would give to someone wanting to do what you're doing, be in your position right now?
I think, oh God, there's so much. I would say two things. First is if you're just getting into the industry, use your connections. And if you're at Boise State, anytime a TV crew is coming in and this is what you want to do, reach out to the sideline reporter, reach out to the producer and just say, hey, can I shadow this person for this game? Like, I would love to see the behind the scenes. That's establishing a relationship with these networks. And that, like, it's all about, unfortunately, it's about like who you know and the timing and then working your ass off. Like, that's what's going to make you successful in this industry. It's very important to put in 150% of your work, but also just having those relationships is so huge. So just go out of your way to introduce yourself to everyone on that broadcast crew. Like, get to know the sideline reporter, get to know the on-air talent, get to know the production assistants, like get to know the camera guys, everything. Just because you never know who's going to be like, oh wait, Jenna, like this is what she wants to do. Let me just reach out and see, you know, I saw there was an opening in this position. Connections are huge in this industry. And then second, and this is something that I've talked about a lot, is just like being okay with asking for help is such a big thing. I think there are a lot of people just want to, you know, it's like the fake it till you make it thing.
Yes.
And that's great. Like there's a lot of times where still to this day, I'm like, all right, fake it till you make it. I got to figure this out. But also like being okay to just say, you know, I don't know the best way to do this. So let me reach out to someone who does. And they're most likely they'll be willing to help you. I think that if I would have just asked for help when I first started at CBS, when I was only doing NFL, it would have benefited my career a lot, but I was scared because I wanted to prove that I belonged there. And I was like, I can't ask for help because then they'll think that I'm drowning, but I was drowning. So now looking back, I would have just asked for help, you know, who knows what would have happened. And I'm so thankful for the way that my career has gone and everything and all the opportunities that I have, but you know, I wish I could go back to that like 25-year-old that was scared out of her mind about the job she was about to do and just say, you know what, just reach out to Tracy again. Like she's already said she's willing to help. So just reach out again and say, hey, I got a question about A, B, C, and D, but I didn't do that. And now that's why I feel like so passionate about helping everyone that I'm like, I never want anyone to feel uncomfortable in the position that they're in or that they don't belong there. Like, let's figure out how we can make you, you know, the most confident in what you're doing. So those are, I think, the two pieces of advice I would give.
Oh, that was awesome. Well, thank you so much for doing this. I'm so, so appreciative that you were willing to come on my podcast. So thank you so much. It was awesome. So thank you everyone so much for listening and we'll catch you guys next time. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode. Make sure to subscribe so you can stay up to date on Hold the Mic. Be sure to follow our Instagram, TikTok, and Facebook accounts at Hold the Mic Podcast.